Welcome to the Doghouse here on NTNRadio.com.
NTN, your place for motorcycle information.
That's the No Talent Network.
And other stuff.
And other stuff. Hey, check us out. Go to our Patreon. Hook a brother up. Help us out a little.
Please.
Do the right thing. Do the right thing. We are here live in the studio.
And you're getting this broadcast on tape delay.
And you are getting it on tape delay. If you don't know what a tape is, F you, you millennial piece of... Sorry. But yes, they're back in the
1800s. Memory stick delay. How's that?
You're getting on memory stick on iCloud or whatever it is. Anyways, that's why we shouldn't do tech talk here. But you might not hear the show anymore because Warren and I are going to join the Space Force.
I'm going to be a space shuttle door gunner.
Yeah, I like that. I kind of want to be the guy that writes the anthem, and I think the Doghouse theme song would be the most pippin'.
It could be in the top
Armed
10.
Armed Forces thing, right? I mean, you got From the Halls of Montezuma. You got all this stuff. You got the caissons go rolling along. You got We're the Monkeys for the Air Force, right? Hey, we're the monkeys. I kind of want to join the Space Force.
I imagine because their theme is going to be Darth Vader's theme. You know,
look, that. I'm gonna put the Space Force and the Doghouse all into one thing. If people are saying, "How are you gonna make that connection?"
Just watching
one word, one hyphenated word, Robotech.
Oh, so you're talking about the Rossi bike is going to be sponsoring the space shuttle?
No, Robotech, the cartoon. The anime?
I'm not an anime guy.
It was after these aliens invaded and our spaceships kind of did like Transformer kind of stuff. Like our jets. And they became like a battle suit and our tanks became a battle suit. And then they had our motorcycle one. That was the baddest one. So you could be like riding the motorcycle, hit a jump, hit the button, and it turns into like a fighting suit.
Can't say I've ever seen that.
Oh, man. Now we might have to pause the show just for you to see that, Robotech. Anyways, lots to go on this week.
We had a busy week.
Motocross was in High Point. Was at High Point in Mount Morris, PA. Flat Track was at, I believe it's called Remington Park, which is Oklahoma. And we have MotoGP at the MotoGP track.
Catalunya. I'm sure my accent was appropriate.
It probably was. We have a little silly season info kind of stuff. We got a Ducati announcement. We got a lot of stuff going on. I feel like we should go to commercial break teasing things and then come back. I had a little side trip over this weekend.
Some local news,
and this is going to affect people up and down the coast, maybe even into the Midwest. You know, people travel
around. East coast of the United States.
You know, east of the Sippy. I'm going to call it the Sippy, not Mississippi or the river. I'm going to call it the Sippy. East of the Sippy. As you know, our local track for us is Sima Point Raceway, which doesn't host a Moto America race, doesn't host MotoGP. Doesn't host World Superbike.
But it does host.
It does host a lot of CCS and Astra stuff and track excitement days. Motorcycle excitement, I think, is one of the track days and a couple other things. There's a bunch of bike stuff that goes on there. Club events. And the rumor mill was kicking around. So I done looked and I kind of, you know me, if I hear the rumor mill, and I'm close enough to sniff it and figure out what it's all about.
Is that what you did to Jorge?
Oh, I did some sniffing. but if you've heard the rumor, I'm going to confirm it. It is true. Summit Point Raceway has sold. 44 days from today, I believe. Well, 43 days from today.
Goes final.
Is going to be the closing. From what we understand, they will be honoring all the contracts they have. And I'm not 100% sure what's going to happen from there. It was bought by a company. The guy who's been the president of the track, I believe his name's Doug Allison, has been the president of the track for about the last 18 months, 16, 18 months, somewhere in that range.
Oh, so he's completely familiar with the day-to-day operations.
Yes. There. He is on the board of directors of the company that bought it, which is a government contractor called Garter World Services or Garter, something like that. Mm-hmm. So I don't know much about Garter other than I know they rented out the track for their training facility stuff. And they have a big building there at the corner of the track.
They're going to rename that corner the Garter Corner.
I hope not. They should actually name that corner. Oops, I'm in the woods. but anyways, so I wouldn't say it's a bad thing. You know, I don't know how to read this. I understand Garter is one of them big military companies and everything. They're pencil pushers and bean counters.
They're a security company that does other things. But yeah, they got their
big pencil pushers and bean counters. But I will say this, over the last year and a half under this guy's direction at the track, I think they've made positive strides towards the racing aspect of the business.
Oh, we've both said multiple times that sum up point could be a lot more than it is.
It could be, but it's been getting better, right? A lot of that, the biggest thing about Summit Point being better than what it is taking dumping cash into it.
Well, it takes money to make money.
Amen. And the old owner has had the track on sale since her husband passed away. It's been on a light sale kind of thing. So she has really fought over the years. She really fought dumping any money into the track.
Yeah, because that's going to cut into the bottom line for her.
Right. You know, and if I'm going to sell it, why do the aggravation? Why spend the money? Why do this? Why do that? I don't know. I wish I could tell you people that I said, oh, man, I've talked to this guy and everything's good. They're going to keep the track going. They're going to make some improvements. You know, the official phrase is, oh, Summer Point will continue operating the exact same manner. Nothing will change.
Do you hear that every time?
You hear that every time. So I don't believe a word of that. And I actually said to somebody from the track of position of semi-power, I have no idea if he'll have power after
43 more days.
43 more days. 44 days from now, he could be just Joe Blow. He kind of hinted that, said that to me, and I was like, you know, please don't lie to me. We know it's going to change. It might not change instantly.
Something will change.
Things always change. So I don't know. I don't know for all you guys that race CCS and Azra. I'm not saying, hey, SOL and the track's going to close down. It's not doom and gloom. It's not, rainbows and unicorns.
Yeah, it's not that either.
It's, I don't know.
Wait and see.
Yeah, it's, you know, if I hear news, if I get news, I will totally let you guys know what I've been hearing in the rumor mill. You know me. I love a little good controversy. But I don't have a positive, you know, I mean, I got what they say, and everybody says stuff, right? Oh, yeah, everything's going to be fine because they still have, you know, now I do know for a fact they will be honoring all the contracts for anything that's signed already.
Well, that is pretty much a given.
Yeah, so that pretty
they'd
much.
They'd have to buy them out. And they're
right.
Not, and they're
nobody,
missing
right. And they, and
that much money. They're
the
not
organizations that I've talked to, and I have not talked to a lot, have said there wasn't even an offer made of, can we buy you out? Right?
Yeah. They're so, not. That's not going to happen.
So I don't see that happening. I see a lot of positive changes to the track over the last 16, 18 months.
To the asphalt track.
Yeah.
The road track.
Well, to all the road tracks, right? I mean, Summit Point has four paved tracks.
Right.
Then the two dirt tracks, and then they have the...
Have they kind of
a hair scramble track.
Did they do anything to those?
Well, the dirt tracks are like rallycross tracks, so you don't really do much to them, but they've been hosting events there.
Oh, that's good.
Right, you don't really, you know, unless a berm gets knocked down or something by somebody in a super wheel that doesn't know how to drive, you don't really have a lot to do there.
I didn't even know you'd fit in a super wheel.
I don't fit in Subarus. but I do have a lot of common with super wheel drivers. We all like women. Bada bang, bada bang, bada boo go.
Yeah, terrible.
I'm a bad person. So... you know, like I said, over the last year, I'm hoping this is a positive thing. I also don't know that I see Garter coming in and dumping the money to make Summit Point into a
world class
VIR track.
No, not after investing that much. They're going to have to make some of their money back.
They're going to have to make some of their money back before they dump that out. If they start investing a ton of money in it, I'd say that's a bad thing. Because the quick way to make a ton of money, or the surefire way to make a ton of money back, would be that they're expanding for government contracting purposes.
Yes.
Right. So...
And there's a lot of that out there. Where there used to be a lot of it out there. Not so much as anymore.
Yeah, but there's still enough.
Yeah.
Right? There's still enough. So
there's enough to keep the lights on for not just the contracts area, but for a lot of the rest of the area, too.
Yeah. So we'll see, everybody. I have no idea. You know, you if you want to hit me up on Facebook or on the Twitter or the Instagram.
The Twitter or the Instagram.
The Instagram.
Or the Facebook.
Or the Facebook. You can. I'll tell you what I know. I'll keep you in the loop. You know, if anybody has any, you know, if you hear people saying, I heard the rumors and this, that, and the other thing, I'm telling you, my sources were high enough to say, yes, that's happening. Right? Because it wasn't said to me like, hey, you know, hey, there's this rumor going around, or I forgot on good sources. It was said on Sunday, I was told the closing's in 45 days. Maybe it was Saturday I was told that. Right? The closing's in 45 days. That's not a rumor.
It's happening.
It's happening. Woo! Pandemonium!
So lock yourself down into your racing seats. Pull yourself tighter. Pull your clutch in tighter and get ready for a ride. Of some kind.
Yeah,
at some point.
Is that, you know, so I don't know. Strap the helmet on and go for it. So we'll all see. I guess we'll all watch that together. If the people over at Garter listen to the show, which who the hell knows?
Well, if you send it to them.
I might. We'd love for it to be open. We have some really great ideas.
We
could actually help you get people.
You could come here and talk to us about it.
We definitely, Mr. Doug Allison, would totally be cool with you coming into the studio, sitting down with us, buying us dinner.
Talking to us nice.
And we're pretty cheap dates. We're talking...
Wendy's.
No, God damn it, Warren. I was going to at least go for Buffalo Wild Wing.
Oh, no. Those people, I'm done with Buffalo Wild Wings. Don't even get me started.
Moving right along. Anyways, let's get into some Ducati news before we get into motocross.
They're not eighth place anymore, but they're starting to look like it again.
Yeah.
At least one of them.
Well, here you go. So Ducati made an announcement during the week. I believe it was actually yesterday or today. I'm not sure the exact. It's really making the rounds today, but I saw it a little bit last night. So I'm not exactly sure where what date the thing was. But Ducati is getting ready for what will be a fantastic moment to celebrate the Italian brand history at World Ducati Week in Misano. This is all according to iMotorbike.my.
I don't know that site.
Of course
which
not,
I'm
because
surprised.
They don't have any Harley stuff on here.
No, you know better than that. I go to all kinds of stuff.
Anyways, these guys seem to be in the scoop, and I've seen it in place else. They use the word Ducatiistas or Ducatiistas. I don't know. They hate the word.
Ducati fanatics.
People that generally come in eighth place. Anyways, they're going to have a race of champions. And,
That would be Casey Stoner only.
Well, okay, here you go. Well, there's a total of 12 riders, all of them linked to Ducati, and linked to some of the Ducati's best moment in MotoGP and World Superbike.
Okay, now there might be a few World Superbike.
We got Hip Hip Jorge Lorenzo.
He hasn't won but two races on Ducati.
He done won two races, but he's a champion. We all got right. Andrea Dovizioso.
He did not win a championship on Ducati.
Yeah, we got Jack Miller.
I had to go back and think for a second.
No, we got Jack Miller. No Ducati championship. We got Daniel Petrucci, which, okay, I get it. Miller's going to be, we'll spoil that silly season news right now. It's confirmed Miller next year is going to be on the Alma Premac Ducati.
That's a good ride for him.
Daniel Petrucci, we know, is going to be Dovizioso's teammate. It makes sense that you have your current riders out there.
Yep.
Even though they're not all champions. They announced Chaz Davies. They announced Marco Melandri. which means his hot girlfriend probably
did. Did Mo Landry win something on a Ducati?
I don't know if it was on a Ducati. I'm going to have to look. But here's the one name I don't see thrown out, which I would have thought would be the big one thrown out.
The only one that has a championship?
The one that has a championship on Ducati, Mr. Casey Stoner.
Not invited. Damn!
Well, they were probably sitting there going, we're going to have this race of champions. We shouldn't put... And they're going to race on a Panigale V4S special configuration.
Oh, that's the new...
That's the new one, right? Obviously, you put them out on the new one. But here's what the bottom line is. They were like,
we don't want...
these other guys should all be pretty close. We don't want Stoner embarrassing our GP and World Superbike riders. We don't want the controversy. We don't want to show them what winning looks like.
Damn!
Why would you exclude Stoner?
Because of just that.
Yeah, that's the only reason. There's no Stoner didn't want to do it. There's no Stoner's wife wouldn't let him do it. There was Ducati saying, we can't have the retired guy whip everybody's ass. Troy Bayliss is also on the list of guys that are going to be there. If you listen to the Doghouse, you know I call him Skip Bayliss all the time.
I know. But I'm trying to think, what did he win on the
World Superbike, I believe, right? Or was he MotoGP? What did he
win on the matter.
Did he win on the Ducati? Now you're yes, I believe he did. I might have to edit all that shit out. I definitely have to edit.
You got beep there.
Maybe.
This is anyway, so I'm happy for Ducati. They're coming out with a brand new bike that a lot of people seem to have a lot of high hopes for. And they're going to put on a big show. Great. I think it's awesome. I would actually like to see this. If I lived in Europe, I'd probably travel to go see. If I lived in Europe.
Oh, okay. All three of his World Superbikes championships were on a Ducati.
Okay,
and a MotoGP race win. Okay.
All right, so that works for him.
Okay. I didn't know. I know it wasn't all that long ago, but my mind is kind of fried. You know, all the time we see all these people.
But you'd go watch it, wouldn't you? If you lived in Europe.
Yeah, if I lived in Italy, I definitely would go watch it. I mean, I love the concept of Dovi.
All these guys riding the same spec bike.
I think it's great. Dovi, Chaz Davies, Melandri's fast as hell, too.
Lorenzo? Did you say anything about Iannone?
No, he's on the Suzuki.
He didn't get invited?
Yeah, they were like, so we only have like 12 bikes, right?
And we don't want three of them knocked out at one time.
You know, Miller, I think this is a good opportunity for some of these guys.
Yeah.
I like
Miller
it. I'm just
on the Ducati this year has been better than it looks, but he's had a lot of technical issues.
Yeah, I think it would be fun. If you're in Italy and you go, let us know. Send us some pictures and stuff like that. So anyways, I just thought I would dump that out, but no Stoner. The biggest thing is no Stoner.
That's very interesting.
So of course, let the conspiracy theories fly.
Speaking of road trips, I made one last week.
Where'd you go?
I took a 572-mile round trip to northern North Carolina.
Well, I'm going to tell you this. You probably did that in the same amount of time that I went over to buy your house in Northern Virginia. Last Thursday, I was heading over that way and got caught in that wreck up by that little country store by where you live.
Oh,
I sat on 15 for like 3.5 years.
Yes, that was a bad one.
Yeah, I was sitting in the traffic there but for that one. Thank you, Warren.
You're welcome.
And I live in an area that actually only has one road.
And only two lanes.
Two lanes, no 7-Elevens, no place to get
two
eats.
Cigarette stores, though.
Yeah, I don't smoke. Doesn't help me out. I was running low. I literally was thinking about calling the cops and being like, you got to clean this up because I'm almost out of Coke Zero.
That is surprising in itself because you travel with six liters at a time.
Yeah, I know. I was running low and I was like, well, I'll just buy some when I get over into the People's Republic of Maryland.
And you never made it.
Yeah, no. I did, but it was like 6 years later. But go ahead. You headed to North Virginia, Carolina.
Northern North Carolina to a company called Custom Dynamics. They're an aftermarket Motorcycle Lighting Company.
You know, here's the best part about this whole story is right now, Ken's head is on fire.
That's too bad for him. I don't even know what he looks like anymore.
Who's Ken?
But anyway, I was supremely impressed with the company. I've liked their products in the past. I've bought a couple of them.
Did they give you anything for free?
Well, they did, but okay. I would have paid for
it. Did they give me anything for free?
I brought you some stickers.
Whoa, yay.
But
they could have bought me tokens for a campsite. I'd have been okay with that.
I bought several of their products in the past, and they've been very nice. I was getting ready to buy another one, and I thought, I love road trips. Let me call them up or by email. Say, you know, could I come down and get this thing? So, and maybe you guys can install it for me. And I rolled down there, and not only did they install it for me, they gave it, you know, for free because I do the blog, I do the podcast. But, oh my God, were these things bright.
Lights?
The lights are so bright. If you go to my blog, ijustwantaride.com, and, you know, look up custom dynamics.
Literally, Ken's head
I'm
looks
fine
like
with
a,
that. Are you fine
like,
with it?
Yeah, it looks like a Tom and Jerry cartoon where Tom's top half of his head comes off and fire
and
comes
the brain
out.
Floats over
the yeah, well, the fire comes out, but okay.
But I was very happy with what I saw down there. The guy, everybody was friendly. Everybody was nice. I talked to the owner, Dave, for quite a while. They're coming out with some new products based on the light pipes. Super bright. If you want your motorcycle to be noticed, this is the way to do it. Coming back, I mean, I had a couple cars that I was in the fast lane. Pull up behind a car, they'd sit there for about 5 seconds, realize I'm behind them, then pull over. That doesn't usually happen. You know, now that I'm just surprised at how bright this stuff is, and I was recommending them before, I'll recommend them again. Mm-hmm. Custom Dynamics, they make some good stuff. And I talked to them about where the company came from, how they got their name. This is a funny story. So they were sitting around a table trying to figure out a name for the company that he started literally in his garage. Said, well, let's go with Dave's LEDs. Was his name today?
I don't like it.
Yeah, he said, well, what if we actually become...
Ellie Dave's.
Ellie Dave's.
Screw Custom Dynamics. No one cares. Ellie Dave's.
Ellie Dave's.
I like that.
He said, I don't... You know, they started talking about it. Well, what if we actually go get big? He says, you know, I don't think Dave's LEDs would hold up.
Ellie Dave's would.
Ellie Dave's might have. But so they kicked it out, and they came up with Custom Dynamics. It's a good name. Sounds good.
Oh, I thought there was something.
They
like,
do a lot of their designs in house. They hire, you know, contractors to come in for the really super technical stuff. But yeah,
Ellie Dave's,
great company. I was really happy with what they did. I was surprised that they gave me the products. I wasn't willing to pay for it.
At least you got a freebie.
I got a freebie, but I wasn't expecting it because I was expecting to pay for it.
Yeah, and I got stickers.
You got stickers.
Got stickers. Thank you, Warren.
So.
All right, no, that's cool.
Great trip.
I can't wait to see those lights, and if it ever stops raining here in Virginia.
The only problem we had with the trip was the room we stayed in that night was
sketchy.
Horrible.
Was it worse than where we stayed at VIR?
By a half a magnitude.
Wow.
It went as bad as it was at VIR, I'd say on a scale, on an earthquake scale.
Yeah.
The room at was probably a 3.
Yeah.
Earthquake level 3. This was an earthquake level 5 room.
Wow, that's a big that's
and it was
a big jump.
And I'll admit, it was days in. He was usually decent. This was not
decent. And they're good for surviving tornadoes.
For you.
Yeah, well, I've survived
I've heard
7.
The stories.
7 in days in. I swear
so
by that.
It was not a good room. My wife even actually actively went out, searched for their website to find out their customer complaint, you know, where they, she could, and she complained about
it. Was it like dingy, or was it like just they didn't have a give a damn attitude?
Well, it wasn't the attitude. The guy at the desk was nice. It's just the room was dingy. It was not very clean.
Yeah, there are some days that totally need to be redone.
Oh, this yeah. is definitely one of them.
Yeah. So, anyways, thank you, Dave Zinn. We know you'll never sponsor us. But if you gave us free rooms
one.
For
not
life.
Not that one.
If you gave us free rooms for life, we would retract it. We'd actually redact all that part of the
it
show.
It would never, ever
it
show
would
up
just,
again.
It would just hear like, beep. You know, we could do that. So anyways,
it'd be like, I stayed at a room, very nice room.
I stayed at a very nice room. But anyways, let's get into some racing. We've dilly-dallied and wasted almost an entire show here on.
This is good stuff.
On good stuff. But we've dilly-dallied and haven't been talking racing. And you know me, I want to get back to my racing.
Let's start with motocross.
No, let's start with flat track.
Okay.
Everybody keeps wanting to
Because motocross was pretty entertaining.
It was, but let's go to Flat Track was in Oklahoma City at Remington Park, which is a mile. Another mile track. I like all the mile tracks.
Yeah, I forgot about it, and I didn't watch it this weekend.
Yeah, you're a bum.
But I bet you, after you tell us what happened in the singles, I can tell you what happened into the 450s.
No, the 450s are the singles. You mean the twins.
I'm messing with you because you keep saying 450s for the twins.
I know. I want to call them the 450s. The singles need to be called the 450s. So let's make a change. Make me happy. Again, great racing. Race of the weekend. This weekend definitely did not get outshined the singles race in the flat track. Bromley, Ryan Wells instead of Kobe Carlisle, you know, was up there, and Shayna Texter, and they just ran the wheels off each other, trying different lines, trying this, diving in deep, going out wide, trying to make it stick. 2/10 finish was between first and third. Just a tight race. No, it wasn't even 2/10. Yeah, it was 2/10.
2/10 of a second between first and third.
First and second was 1/100 of a second.
Wow, right. That's close.
Yeah, you know, you got the draft. You got a lot of things going on there. Kobe Carlisle, who's your defending champ, he's running. He ran in fourth. You know, the nice thing was is Bromley won on the KTM. So you had KTM, Honda, Husqvarna as your top finishers. Then you had Yamaha, Kawasaki. So your top five were five different brands.
That's great.
That is great. That is, like, even better than Supercross and Motocross does.
Sounds like Shane is starting to get used to the Husky
now. Yeah, they're starting to get it dialed in. She's getting there. She's getting there. She's got to, sooner or later, get on the top step so that she's not so much shorter than everybody. but, no, we're big fans of hers and stuff, and not just because she's a girl and she's out there kicking butt.
She's good.
She's good. She is good. I saw a little interview thing with her before the race, and she was like, yeah, you know, I won a bunch of races last year, and I'm not winning this year, and, you know, we got to get that done and stuff, and I hope she does. So, like I said, I was excited, and the fact that you had five brands in the top five.
That's saying something.
That's saying something. That's saying that
that's saying the riders are the difference, not the bikes.
Yeah. And that's saying that that's good racing there. Then we go over to the twins.
You want to say 450s again, didn't you?
I did. I should call them the 750s.
It had to be an Indian, and it had to be Mies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is he ever going to lose?
I didn't see it. I knew who was going to win.
Let's see. The first non-Indian comes in Sean Bayer in 9th on the KTM. Man, first Harley was 10th.
This Indian is just freaking awesome.
Yeah, they got the Mies on the factory first, Smith on the factory third, Baker on the factory fourth, Hammer and Hank Wiles was on a privateer Indian. But it's just dominating, especially it seems on these mile tracks.
Hey, because they can really stretch it, that engine out,
they are
and
pulling
run
the rubber
it.
Bands tight on those things.
Yeah.
I know we're really early, but there's almost no way Jared Meats doesn't win the championship. He's got a 59-point lead over Hank Wiles.
So he had the DNF three times.
Seven wins. He's got only two races all season he didn't win. One was Illinois, and the other one was Dixie, where he didn't make the finals. No, where he got disqualified.
They
That's
got
right.
DQ'd.
He actually won that race, but got DQ'd. Yeah, just a ass-kicking dominant season.
Yeah. Hopefully they're checking his bike out as much as they can, because he got caught once, don't want to get caught twice.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think maybe they should check his bike out a little bit.
But he is the best rider out there. There's no taking that away from him.
Yeah.
I don't know why if it was on purpose, I don't know why he did it, because they don't need to.
Yeah.
He's on one of the best bikes, and he's got the best rider. What the heck?
Yeah, I don't get it either. So anyways, that's your 450s. Your 450s. Damn it, Warren. That's your flat track for this
That's
week.
Not me. That's 100% you.
That was 120% me. Wow. damn you, Warren. I believe they're Lima next, right? No, Daytona. Is Daytona? No, it can't be Daytona next. Is it? No. No, they've already done Daytona.
Yes, Daytona's already been here and gone.
Why is my events showing all weird? It says next race, and then it's showing me Daytona. Oh, no, Lima. Lima is next. Okay, I'm sorry. Next race is Lima, Ohio. That's right. So Lima's the next race. That's a half miler. So we'll see. Well, hopefully Shayna can get up down the top board, and hopefully somebody can take out Mies. That's all I got.
This doesn't look like it.
It doesn't look like it. I'm not even sure anybody
only
can
Mies
get closer.
Can take out Mies.
Yeah, it's his championship to lose. If I was one of the other guys in the series, I totally would be trying to make him buddies with Tomac.
Was that well, speaking of Tomac. Say?
Yeah, let's talk about Tomac. Let's talk 250s.
250s. Zach Osborne being out dramatically changed the landscape for the 250 championship.
Yes. And he's out for the season.
Yes, he's done.
TPO, the party's over for him for this year. He's out for the season.
And Big P, Aaron Plessinger, stepped up.
Yeah, and he had a little help from the gods of fate, maybe? Jeremy Martin, who came in second in the first race to Plessinger, wrecked his bike there in the second race, ended up finishing 33rd. His brother Alex, who's been most of the season battling the top 10, definitely the top 10, most of the time top 5, top 3, ended up with a 12-5.
Well, and that's after going into the pits, he's still able to get into the 12th.
Yeah, you know, I mean, so they're definitely they're definitely struggling this week. You know, I wouldn't put too much into it. But Faulkner and Cooper, Justin Cooper, had great weekends. Dylan Fernandez had a good weekend.
This is the first time
that
Cooper's really looked like he has in the past.
No, not Cooper Webb, Justin Cooper.
Justin Cooper. Okay. Yeah. Sorry, I had the wrong Cooper.
No problem. McElroth looked a little disappointing. The KTM guys got a little beat up this weekend. You know, with Martin having the issues, McElroth not doing so hot, Cantrell not doing so hot. So they got a little beat up this weekend.
But Plessinger did what he had to do.
Hardaramph, is that how you say his name? He had a pretty good spill in the first race. It was the first race that had the really bad accident in turn one.
Yeah, at the whole shot turn.
Yeah, at the whole shot. And that's just weird. You normally...
10 bikes crashed.
No,
up.
That was 450s. That was the big wreck, right? Yeah, I'm sorry.
There was a wreck in the 250s
as well.
Yeah,
there was 250s too, but... Plessinger looks like he's stepping up to the plate with Osborne being out. You know, it opens everything up for him, makes his life a little easier.
The Martins had a chance, but they both.
And that's always been their problems. They've never really been Mr. Consistency. They always had that off couple races, and it's how much does that hurt them? I'd say the 33rd's going to end up hurting Jeremy a lot.
Yeah. Definitely not his shining moment.
You know, I don't know. I'm looking to see the points, but I don't see. They don't have the 250 points. Why don't they not have the 250
so
points?
So Aaron Plessinger is in first at 171.
Okay.
Jeremy Martin's at 150. Plessinger had 171. Martin has 151. And Alex Martin has 141.
Yeah, and a decent finish from Plessinger makes him the point. I mean, from Martin makes him the points leader. Lost the points lead this weekend in that second race.
Yeah, if he just stayed upright, he got a second, maybe a third at worst.
Third, he's points leader.
Probably.
Yeah. Then we get into the 450s, or the 450s, as Emma used to say.
Eli Tomac looked human this weekend.
Yeah.
Or they put him on the wrong bike.
He looked in the first race, he looked miserable. And we're saying that, but he did dominate the first half of the race.
Yeah.
But then Musquin just
run him down.
Ran him down and ran him over.
It looked like Tomac around Marvin instead of Marvin.
so he suffered his first loss of the season, which is the second. Yep. His first loser. But that was enough to shake him up and be like, whoa, we can't do this again.
I don't know about that because Yeah, he went out and won the second race, but it wasn't in a convincing form.
No, it wasn't. Musquin was all over the back of him, trying right up to the last set of turns. It was a good fight.
Speaking of that, I did not like the way that last turn was, because last turn, immediately you had to cross the finish line.
Drag race.
You couldn't even make enough speed to jump.
Yeah.
You end up rolling across.
Yeah. I'm with you. And the track was kind of crappy most of the day. So, yeah, I'm with you. Not a great track. Barcia ended up with a 3-5, which Bam Bam is there. He's got to get a little faster, but he's not having the endurance issues.
Well, he's in third place overall, the 140 points.
Yeah. And then Ken Roczen, who was part of that big turn one crash I talked about in the first race, managed to get it up to seventh in that race, and he had 7-3. I mean, he's looking like a beast, but when he went down in that crash, the only thing I thought of is at the end of him.
How many arms did he break this time?
Right. I still don't know if he should be there. And then Justin Hill, somebody who was completely forgotten in Supercross, shows up out of nowhere. Didn't even know he was still racing.
With a 4-6.
Yeah, so I was like, oh, hey, I've heard that name before. Let me Google, make sure that's the same guy. And then there's a lot of guys, Pike and Baggett, who had solid races, but I don't know. I kind of expect a little more out of Baggett lately.
Well, Baggett's in fifth overall, one point behind Roczen, who is higher than I would have expected in fourth. 131 points.
Yeah, but, I don't know whether that's a testament to Roczen being a machine or that we have two really good riders, one guy that can win a race, and then a bunch of guys who are meh.
Well, I don't know.
I don't know what it is.
In the top three, Tomac, Musquin, and Barcia, those are your top three overall standing.
Yeah.
So you got Tomac, who has won one outdoor championship.
Yeah.
And you got Marvin, who's won one Supercross championship.
Yeah. Barcia's won a 250. I think Musquin won outdoors.
Well, I think Musquin won a 250s as well.
And so did Tomac, right? They've all won 250s.
Well, I was just thinking at this level.
Well, but here's what I see, right?
But what I'm getting at is that they're all, from the championship point of view, they're all pretty much, the top two guys are pretty much mirror image of each other.
Yeah. Now, I did notice that Musquin was changing the way he was riding the track. This is the first race all season that Musquin kind of approached the track like Dungey has the last couple of years. Take the outside lines, go a little, try
these
other things. Tomac was doing the preferred racing line that everybody seemed to be doing. It was getting beat up. And then Musquin was trying these other lines, and at times they're fast. And I kind of liked the way I saw him racing, especially racing that way. I love when you see somebody who's like, I'm going to stick to the line that everybody does, racing the guy who's like, I'm going to try and find their line.
Yeah.
And that's always, to me, that always brings up good racing, and I think we saw that in both races.
Yeah, the 450s were a very entertaining race, both of them.
Yeah. And next year, Warren and I will go to Mount High Morris, Point. Pennsylvania.
High Point.
High Point!
The next race is at Blountville, Tennessee.
Blountville.
So, that's Woo! Next weekend.
You and I are going to have to smoke a lot of weed to catch up with all the Supercross names. We'll be like Blountville, High Point, Red Bud, Buzz Creek.
I don't know. What's up with all these names?
I love it. It's like they should call. It should be like brought to you by the state of Colorado, Pro Motocross. Anyways, it's the Lucas Pro Motocross Championships. I don't want to do them. Hey, so I don't know if I should say this. I'm not going to say this. Good. But I will say this. NBC Sports has now NBC Gold that you can watch it. So if you want to...
How much are they charging for that?
If you have to ask the price, Warren, you actually can't afford it. I didn't know that NBC Gold means that I should have some of that stuff before I call them. Anyways, make motocross free again. That's what I want to say. Let's get into MotoGP. or GPS must be
Moto 2. Let's start with that one.
Yeah, let's get my computer moving faster so I can
Who would have thunk that your favorites
Quateraro.
That your favorites would not even some of them wouldn't even finish the race.
Oh, Pacini. You're going right to the Pacini.
He's one of them, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the guys well, I don't know. I always consider Oliveira a contender, top guy, right?
Yeah, he started in 17th position, though.
Yeah, thank God. Hey, that made me a lot of points in the pool. Ooh, I love them
same
pools.
Here.
Yeah, you do. You picked them, and I thought, here's what I thought. I said, am I going to jinx them if I pick them?
Surprisingly, you kind of did, because I thought he was going to finish him first.
And I was like, but if Warren picks up 17 points and I don't match him, I'm going to fall way behind him, and I can't have that. So, yeah, he came out, and Oliveira started 14th. I mean, they had to, like, get his own little...
He started 17th.
I'm 17th. You're right. 17th. I'm sorry. They had to get his own, like, drone to go back that far because the first drone ran out of energy when they were trying to pit road. And I was like, oh, this is probably really dumb. But I think the bigger surprise was the Frenchman Fabio Quartararo.
Who?
Yeah, we know the name just because it's fun to say Quartararo. He got his pole, I believe his first pole and first win. I don't remember him ever having a pole.
I don't think
before.
He did. I think this is his first win.
Oh, definitely his first win, but his first pole. And he looked fast, right? He looked fast on the bike.
Yeah, he did, but he didn't look as fast as Oliveira. We went from 17th to 4th before the first turn.
Yeah, pretty much. that was a good start, right?
Yeah, he hit the lights exactly.
In Supercross and Motocross, we talk about the hole shot. Oliveira is like, next time they have a hole shot challenge, he should be invited. Because he was like passing people inside, outside, upside down. You turn to me, reality is what you see. You know what I'm saying? He was all over the place in the first turn and a half. And of course, I'm yelling. I'm like, yeah, go, go. And I was like, he's got a wreck. He is.
And he's going to take people out with him.
I don't care about that. If he takes the right people out, I don't care. But yeah, just a great charge off the lights.
Yeah, well, you're talking about the people who got, you know, there's a lot, in both classes, there was a lot of people that went down and out of the track. Just in here, you had Vinales, you had Pacini, you had Joan Mir.
Yeah, Fanati. All guys we've mentioned, and even Navarro has been better this year. All guys we've mentioned from time to time as contenders and stuff like that, and they kind of went out. And then guys like Bagnaia and Baldessari finished really pedestrian, and yeah. Sam Lowes, right?
Even with 9 bikes being out,
yeah,
they still, I would have thought
Bagnaia finished 8th.
I would have expected him and Lowes both to be higher than that. I expected Pons to be higher than he was. He didn't finish in 16th, and he had been doing fairly decent.
Yeah. It was pretty ick, I think is the best way to do it. It was not a great race for front runners, right? Quartararo got out there, led flag to flag. You know, he was out there. I was glad to see him win. You know, it's always fun when somebody new wins, right? Which jumped him way up to 10th in points. But like we said, Oliveira with his charge through the field, getting that second, and Bagnaia having a crappy race, he's now 1 point out of the lead on the KTM. Alex Marquez, he finished 3rd, but he's got to start putting some wins down, or he's going to be finding himself on the... He's already...
What's he?
20-some-odd points out of first.
Yeah, he's... Third?
He's third, but he's back there, and he's got Baldessari right nipping at the heels. You know, like he's like a little shih tzu or something. You know, where those old dogs that nip at people's feet.
Well, speaking of that,
uh-oh.
We can jump over to MotoGP because...
I hate your transitions.
Because we had a yippie dog take first place.
Why are you calling him a yippie dog? He is a world champion. He is a. I finally got a ride. I'm going to start racing.
We'll give it to him. For the last two races, he actually has looked like one.
Yeah, what's going on in the MotoGP?
I like the way the announcers put it. I don't know if you caught it when they were talking about the race. All right. Somewhere around the second or third lap, one of them said, "It's hard to believe, and I'm sure that the Ducati guys in the garage are kicking themselves for letting Jorge go, but it's hard to believe that changing a piece of plastic on a tank to take him from 10th to 1st.
Yeah, it is hard to believe, and that's what I'm saying. I'm saying that Marquez is sandbagging so his buddy can race and get some wins and stuff, and I
don't think Marquez was sandbagging this. He looked like he was trying.
You know,
he got down on his
elbows. I'm starting to, you're going to start something nasty.
He was down on his elbows in many of those turns and just could not get around him.
Yeah, but I don't know. I'm still no Jorge believer.
But these last two tracks have been very Ducati friendly tracks.
Yes.
I can't think of where they're going next.
Next they have Assen.
I remember that track layout, I don't think that's going to be a Ducati friendly track.
Yeah.
It doesn't have I don't think Assen has big long straights.
I don't know. I have to look at a map now. But I still want to tell people, don't believe the hype. I'm still not convinced that this is all over the interwebs I'm saying, yay, the great Jorge is back, hooray, yay. And all this crap, and it's like, you know, he's one piece of plastic from being a bum.
That's just unbelievable. There. I just don't get it. But, again, there was also an awful lot of crashes in DNFs in this race as well.
Yeah.
The most spectacular one was Rabat.
Chico Rabat.
Estevez. His bike basically became a Roman candle in Catalonia.
Maybe the Germans settled not the Germans, the Romans.
But anyway, his bike was just in flames. And he's going, why is my left leg getting hot? He looks down and sees fire shooting out of the bike.
Fire! You know, I wanted him to jump off the bike and yell, please somebody put out the invisible fire that's burning my friend.
Help me, Oprah.
Help me, Oprah Winfrey.
And that's a Talladega Nights reference for those guys who don't get it.
If you don't get it, then I don't know why you listen to the show, because we are flat out retarded and make those kind of things all the time.
Yeah, but that was pretty. His burning motorcycle, as it flew off the track with him on it, was pretty crazy. Yeah,
it was definitely, you know, slow motion. Glad I had the HD package. you know, I'll definitely give it that. But yeah, a ton of 1, 2, 3. Jack Miller, who is going to be re-signed with Pramac. Bradley Smith, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 9, 10. I thought you were going to go with the most notable one being Andrea Dovizioso.
Well, yeah, he went out, but it wasn't spectacular. I mean, it was just...
No, but I mean, that was the biggest news, I think.
That was the biggest name, but it wasn't the most spectacular.
I was like, oh, hey.
If I was going to watch one over and over, it wouldn't have been that. It would be... No. It'd be bad.
So what that really did is, here's what it did, right? This is crazy. A couple months ago, we were talking Dovi as a title contender.
Not anymore.
Now you got Marquez at 115 points, Rossi at 88, Vinales at 77, Zarco 73, Daniel Petrucci 71 points, Satellite Ducati 5th place in points, Kyle, the angry man, Crutchlow.
Who we like.
69 points. Oh, and I don't say that it's bad. And Jorge Lorenzo is now in a tie with Dovi at 66 points and also Iannone. So it's like crash fest, points fest. Three people have all failed on Ducatis.
Yeah, so as few rounds as we have left, can we say that it's Marquez's to lose now?
I know. I think it's pretty much always been.
Well, a couple weeks ago, we still thought maybe Iannone had a chance. I mean, he was relatively, he was a lot closer than he is now.
It's Marquez's to lose, but he's only got a one-lap cushion on Rossi. And one race cushion, not a one-lap cushion. One race cushion, right? He's got 27 points.
Yeah, but Rossi has not shown us this season that he has the ability
to close the gap.
To close it. Yes. He can get the lead and keep the lead.
Yeah, but, you know, all this is one Marquez away from Wreckers and Checkers of bringing this into a point. And like, if I was Marquez...
And here's where I say you're wrong.
Okay.
Unless something really gets in under his skin...
Oh, there, I muted you because you said I was wrong. Now, go ahead.
Unless something happens under his skin, this week would have been the one you would have saw the Wreckers and Checkers because he would have wanted to win... But he raced for the... Yeah, at some point, he realized he was racing for the points and not the win.
Well, that's why I kind of alluded to the sandbagging. I don't think he pushed as hard to beat Lorenzo.
The last 5 to 10 laps, somewhere through there, I think he switched from trying to win
right
to getting the points.
Now, I will tell you this.
And that's a smarter rider.
That's smarter, right? It's all about winning the championship. We said that with Jason Anderson at Supercross, right? Here's what I'll say, right, is with Lorenzo being out front, knowing that Lorenzo is almost 50 points back, he's 49 points back, that's two full races, and at the time it was a little more, right, he was over two races back, he's not a threat to your championship at that time. If Rossi had been leading the race, right,
he might have worked harder.
He would have worked harder. You know, that's because Rossi, that 5-point difference in points to Rossi would have closed the gap from 27 to 22. And now you're one wreck away from losing the championship. So some of that, I think, is also who's in second, who's in third, where's my main contender? You know, he's got 40 on Vinales, so I wouldn't even say he chased Vinales that hard. Maybe he would, maybe he wouldn't, but I think because he saw the whole race, that was Lorenzo out front. But you know what I'm saying, when he started thinking about it, it was like, this guy win, it doesn't kill me. Now, it does kill you if this is the beginning of a hot streak for Lorenzo, who we know can push.
He can run a streak, but can he do it on a bike that he doesn't seem to be able to ride well in the wrong type of track.
Yeah.
I'm getting ready to look at the Assen track and give you my opinion on it.
Yeah. It's not really a Ducati track. Not a lot of big straights.
Oh, no, I take that back. I think Assen is a Ducati track.
Ooh.
It doesn't have... The turns are...
They're not as sharp, right?
The Steuben turn and the Great Teamer Bach turn, which I don't know what either one of those mean. But those
Steuben is probably some racer.
Those two turns are the only ones that will give the Ducati a disadvantage. The rest of them, I think, you know, for the most part, I think that will be a decent race. I would, at this point, looking at this track and without knowing anything about the next race yet, I would be tempted to take Jorge.
Hip, hip, Jorge?
I would be tempted to. I probably won't because... As Ken would say, he likes to surrender.
Yeah, you know, last year, Rossi won. Petrucci came in second there, and Marquez was third.
Mm-hmm.
If that happens this year, that throws this into a points battle. Like, if I'm Marquez, right? If I'm Marquez, I need to get a couple wins to get away, to get a little clear of Rossi.
I agree. I don't want to see Rossi taking
points out of me. And not that he did this week, right? He came in third. He lost points to the leader. But what I don't want to do is end up in a... I need to come in fourth, fifth place battle with Rossi, right? I need to come in second or third with Rossi. I think Rossi's a crafty veteran, right? He's kind of like... He's that crafty. He's like
Rick
Flair.
Well, even
Flair.
If Rossi wins and Mark finishes in third, that's only...
Well, now that's nine points. That's almost half your lead. That's a third of
third,
your lead.
It's a third, but it's...
That's a solid third of your lead, right?
But I got to admit, I just don't see the Yamaha.
Yeah, I don't think the Yamaha got the bike.
I don't know what... I think the bike was better last year than it is this year.
Yeah, although in testing at Catalunya yesterday...
I didn't
Rossi
see anything about
did top testing.
Well, for some reason, my uncalibrated eyeball says that both Vinales and Rossi are not performing at the same level they did last year.
No, they are not. I can't agree with that more.
I don't know. The only difference I can see is something's different with the bike.
Yeah, I can't agree with that more. So, you know, it's you know, you can bench race and all this kind of stuff. We love doing the bench race and stuff.
That's why we're in the pool. And if it's not too late for you to join the pool.
It is too late for you to win the
10
pool.
10-plus rounds left in MotoGP.
And what, 6 in World Superbike?
6 or so in World Superbike. So you might not be able to win the championship of our pool.
But you can play.
But you could probably beat Phil and Ken.
Not me. I've been making some big climbs in the pool, son. Big
That's
climbs.
Only going to last to this week. Next week, you'll be back where you're supposed to be. In eighth place.
I would love to tell you you're
in
wrong.
In eighth place.
That's where I actually am now. Normally, I finish the pool in like 12th place.
I'm ahead of you, and I had a 0.0 weekend.
Yeah.
Basically, 2 weekends I had 0.0 because my people crashed the previous week.
Yeah. I am actually leading the pool at bad picks. I have the lowest points total for just the flat out things. If it wasn't for the new qualifying points that we award, we'll call that the Phil rule. How bad is that going to be if I create the new rule and then it causes me to win because the rest of you don't understand it? Genius. I call that genius. Check out our Patreon account. That's patreon.com/NJN.
Please.
Thank you and damn it.
Stay tuned for next week's episode where we'll talk more stupid stuff just for you.
Yeah, well, we'll have some racing to talk about next week.
Motocross? That might
Not
be
flat
it.
Flat track.
I think it might be it next week.
God, is that really it? We'll have to find something to talk about. Hopefully the rain will stop and we'll be able to go out. Oh, you know what I wanted to talk about this week and we didn't get to talk about? Is Mid-Atlantic Women's Riding Rally or something like that.
Yes, that's
it's going on in Front Royal where I live.
Yeah, this week.
It'll be all kinds of biker chicks in town. Hopefully I'll have some good stories about that.
I think you should go at least take some pictures.
Oh, yeah.
Without getting arrested. Without being arrested.
Yeah.